Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Kay James, the Director of the Office of Personnel and Management. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Paul, and thank you for having me.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Nicole Gardner. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Kay. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Kay, perhaps you could begin by describing for our listeners what the Office of Personnel and Management missions and its activities are.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. As a brand new Director of the Office of Personnel Management, I've had many opportunities in recent days answering questions from friends and relatives and coworkers. What is OPM and what are you doing anyway? The office, and the way that I always describe it that best helps people to get their hands around it is if you were the CEO of a major corporation, you would understand that probably one of your most important team members would be the senior vice president for human resources, because they're the people, that's the person that's going to focus on getting the right people for you to get your job done. And I am the president's senior manager for human resources in the federal government. The Office of Personnel Management is tasked with the strategic management of human capital for the federal workforce. We have some core things that we do that I think are so important for people to understand. First of all, if you're a retired federal employee, it's our responsibility to protect those trust funds and to make sure you get your check on time. If you're a current federal worker, it's our job at the Office of Personnel Management to make sure that you are have access to the appropriate training and for your evaluation and for assisting your managers to know how and to help the managers as well to be good employees. If you're a potential federal employee, it's our job at the Office of Personnel Management to make sure that we have appropriate recruiting tools available to us to your agencies to get you into the federal workforce. If you're a veteran out there, you need to know that a part of our mission at the Office of Personnel Management is to enforce the law within the federal workforce for veterans' preference. It's our job to make sure that the American people have the best and brightest individuals that are available to them to come in and work in the federal government.
Could you give us a sense of the number of employees at OPM and what their skills are?
Certainly. Currently, there are about 3,500 approximately full-time, part-time, and intermittent employees at the Office of Personnel Management, most located here in the Washington area, but others spread throughout the country. These are people who have a broad range of skills. They are analytical. They are writers. They are communicators. They are HR professionals. They are clerks. We have a broad range of skill sets that are necessary in order to do the job that we do.
Kay, could you tell us a little bit more about your role as the director? You said senior vice president of human resources, but what's a day in the life of Kay like?
The day in the life of Kay is extremely hectic right now, I can tell you that. The director job, you know, as is the case, I think, with any senior manager, is to provide leadership. Yes, there are the day-to-day operations that need to take place, but in looking at the president's agenda, it's my job to drive that agenda. As you probably are very much aware, the president is the first president with an advanced degree in management, and as a result of that, he came in with a very strong management agenda. And at the top of his management agenda, although they are not priority ranked, but number one right now is the strategic management of human capital. So on a day-to-day basis, what I have to do is to make sure that every employee within the Office of Personnel Management and every senior manager within the federal government comes to understand that they must be driving that agenda, that we have to look at, are we attracting and retaining the best and brightest to serve the American people? Are we protecting the federal merit system? Are we protecting the trust funds? And is, you know, is the strategic management of human capital, in fact, on the top of everyone's agenda in government right now? And so I do that in a variety of ways, through the written word, through oral communication, through being the cheerleader for the federal workforce, through pressing our issues internally within the administration on Capitol Hill, and to be the advocate of the federal workforce every opportunity I have.
This is a really mission-critical opportunity for you. How did you get there? Can you tell us a little bit about your career and how you arrived at this very important post?
Well, certainly, and I have found that I am probably the worst person in the world to ever have at a career fair to talk about how you plan your career, because mine was certainly unplanned. I entered government as a policy advocate on behalf of certain things that I really felt strongly about and wanted to advocate on behalf of. I became involved in the political process because I thought it was important to go out and work for candidates that I admired and respected and whose policies that I agreed with. Having done that the first time, and the first presidential election that I ever worked in was that for Bush 1 or 41 and 43. No, 41. Let's get the numbers right. And having done that, it was amazing to me after it was over that I was approached by the transition team and said, you know, would you like to come in and help the president make his vision a reality for this country? And I was completely surprised because I didn't realize that having gone out and worked for values and principles and for people that I admired and respected, that the next step would be then to come in and be a part of helping to implement those policies. So I was a little bit taken back by that. But I responded to that because I think I feel very strongly in the, you know, citizens' responsibility to come in and to serve. And I think that those individuals in the private sector have a responsibility when asked by our government to come in and serve, to do that for a period of time. And yes, there are sacrifices to be made, but that's why they call it public service. So I came in as Assistant Secretary for the U.S. Department of Health and served in that capacity. Having done that for a while, went out and did something very interesting when I had the opportunity to be the chief operating officer for a new initiative, which was starting up in Washington at that time, the One-to-One Partnership, which was a program designed to bring corporate America into partnership with those individuals within our community that needed mentoring. And so it was a privilege to do that. And I got the call to go back into government to serve in the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, to be their coordinator for state and local affairs, serve the president there. At the end of the administration, went back in then to the nonprofit sector and worked in a think tank. When I received the call from a newly elected governor that said, would you come to Virginia and help us do welfare reform and health care reform? And I had the privilege of serving a governor that I think it truly was a privilege to serve George Allen. He is quite an individual, a great deal of character and integrity, and I was able to serve him. And after that, I the joy of my life was being the dean of the School of Government at Regent University, where I had the opportunity to be in the classroom and influence the next generation of potential leaders to go into government. And I was given the opportunity, and someone posed a question to me, Kay, if you had the chance to spend 2 years doing exactly what you wanted to do, what would you design and what would that look like? And at that time, I really saw, and it was prophetic in a way, I really saw an opportunity to go out and to encourage the American people about our responsibilities to be involved as citizens if we want good government. And so I had the privilege of going to the Heritage Foundation and heading up their citizenship project for 2 years before getting the call from this president and being asked what I would like to do, how I would like to serve. And in those conversations and through a series of meetings, it was determined that it was a good match for me to go to the Office of Personnel Management to be the president's chief personnel officer, to help him implement what he saw as one of his top priorities of the strategic management of human capital. I believe that it's going to require, in order to be successful in that area, a consensus builder, an advocate, a leader, one who's not afraid to take risk, one who will push the agenda. And I am delighted that the president has entrusted me with doing that on his behalf.
You had a very interesting career. As I was keeping track, you worked in the public sector, in the private sector, in the nonprofit, and you also have the unique experience of working at the state level and at the federal level.
And there's even some corporate thrown in there that I didn't even mention.
How would you contrast the culture at, say, the state level of government and the federal level of government?
Well, I actually very much enjoyed the state level service because at the federal level, very often what we did was do oversight of programs. At the state level, we actually ran the programs and had the opportunity to see close up and personal the decisions that we made and how they affected people's lives. And sometimes I think it's good for policymakers in Washington to actually have to go run some of the programs that we have oversight of and that we dole out the finances to.
Well, it's a good stopping point. We're out of time, so let's go to a break. Come back with us after our break as we continue our conversation with Kay James, Director of OPM. When we come back, we'll ask her about the human resource flexibilities contained in the new Freedom to Management initiative. This is the Business of Government Hour.